What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every single day. And we have five shows this week, guys, and five shows every week till the end of the season because football is back. And I also wanted to tell you guys that the opening week of the NFL is brought to you by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Promo code LOCKEDON gets you 20% off at MackWeldon.com. Mack Weldon is a huge sponsor, and they're sponsoring the opening week of the NFL. There's huge news regarding the Chargers. We thought we were going to talk all rosters today, but we have a bigger news to talk about because there's been some major news in the Melvin Gordon saga. It has now reached its boiling point, and things have really reached a crazy point, guys, with Melvin Gordon's situation. So we'll start with that, talking about how the Chargers told Melvin Gordon that he can go out and seek a trade with his representatives. And then Tom Telesco coming out today on Sunday as we record this and saying Melvin Gordon will not get a contract extension this season. They are tabling those talks until after the season. So, of course, we're going to start with that today. And then after that, we're going to be getting into who made the roster. We'll talk about the guys we're surprised made the team. And then we'll talk at the end about the guys we're surprised got cut from the team. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. Now your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade along with John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. The news today is that Tom Telesco on Saturday told Melvin Gordon that him and his representatives could go and seek out trade partners throughout the league. So previously, the Chargers did not do that with Melvin Gordon. They told him that he could not go out and seek his own trade. But since Melvin Gordon has still not reported to camp, and it's been a month and a half and the season is here, he told his representatives that they can go try to find a trade partner. Then Sunday, Tom Telesco said that there will be no more contract negotiations with Melvin Gordon until after the season. Him basically saying, you either come back and play for the $5.6 million, you find a trade, or you don't show up at all. That's your choice, but you are not getting a single dollar more from us this season. So absolutely stunning news. Melvin Gordon is still not there, and now we know he will not be extended. So it's safe to say that that $10 million is off of the table, whatever that contract was around. But first, let's talk about him being able to seek out a trade partner. David, do you think that means it's pretty unlikely that he's coming back anytime soon? And what do you think would have to happen for Melvin Gordon to find a team the Chargers would want to trade him to?
I think that's the ultimate question. Is there going to be a team out there that is not only going to offer Melvin Gordon the contract that he's looking for with the amount of money that he's looking for, and for the Chargers to accept any type of compensation that they would receive in return for Melvin Gordon? I think this really is the Chargers saying, hey, Melvin, go out there and see what your market is, see how other teams around the league value you, and then you'll understand why we have the stance that we do. Go out there, see what you can get. If you can't get anything satisfactory, you're going to come back and play on your rookie deal at some point this season. It's your choice.
And that would be a pretty hard proposition to find someone that is willing to give him that big extension and the big money he wants. So you have to find someone that's willing to send those assets, because the Chargers aren't going to lower what they want for Melvin Gordon just because Melvin Gordon's trying to find a trade partner, or he finds someone that likes him enough to trade something for him and give him that money. It all seems a little far-fetched, and the Chargers are saying right now, we are calling your bluff. You have no leverage in this situation. You're going to keep missing out on paychecks like you already have in the preseason. And if you want to lose millions of dollars this season, that's up to you, but it's not going up. So you can only lose money at this point by not showing up. The only way for you to get your money is by showing up or getting traded and finding someone that wants to give you that extension, because it's not coming with the Chargers this year. So John, when you hear that and you hear Tom Telesco drawing the proverbial line in the sand, do you agree with the decision by Tom Telesco to play hardball in this situation?
I absolutely agree with Tom Telesco to do this. And the reason, the number one reason behind me agreeing with it is it's time to put all the distractions about contracts away because the season is about to start. It's time for week one. You're either going to play or you're not going to play. It's your money to miss out on. It's your contract to put up in the air whether you want to be back next year and have the same situation or not. It's going to be all up to him now. But giving them the option to look for trades, the Chargers could possibly get something for him instead of just letting him walk when his contract is up. So I think the Chargers are maybe thinking, just in case Melvin Gordon isn't going to be able to get an extension, we can maybe get something for him. But with the contract not being on the table anymore, this is Melvin Gordon's chance to go, okay, do I miss out on $330,000 game checks and eventually go even farther and farther into my bank account? Or do I just suck it up for a year? Which one are you going to do? We could even say that if Justin Jackson starts playing good, is Melvin Gordon going to start going, okay, you know, with these guys still playing good, is this making me look like I'm not that good and I'm just benefiting from the offense? There's so many things that can happen right now if Melvin Gordon does not play that could ruin his contract for next year.
He could get hurt and he could absolutely hurt his value. And I understand that from his perspective, but you're going to have to take whatever he misses this year out of whatever that next big contract is. Yes, he's saving some wear and tear on his legs, but at the same time, he's not putting anything out there to entice other teams to want to give him that contract either. He's just going to be a guy that's out of football for a year and he's not on Le'Veon Bell's level, but he is important to the Chargers. I know that they were 4-0 last year without him, but if you really look at those games, in the four games, they averaged only 83.3 rushing yards, which would have ranked last in the league behind the Arizona Cardinals at 83.9, and their 4.1 yards per carry in those games would have ranked 26th in the NFL. So he's definitely important to this team, but the Chargers are sticking to their guns and they are not going to budge on this situation. But we are going to keep talking about this Melvin Gordon conversation throughout the week. I mean, it's not going anywhere. Right now, we're just wait and see mode because no contract is getting done right now. So we'll talk about that more later on in the week. But we do have two more segments to get into. And later on in the week, guys, make sure to tune in because we'll be joining Locked On Colts for the crossover episode. They're going to be on Wednesdays this season, but this week it might be on Friday. We'll let you guys know, but keep an eye out for the crossover episodes. They're some of our favorite episodes to do. And in the next segment, we're talking about the guys we're surprised made the 53-man roster on Saturday when roster cuts happened. But I need to tell you guys that football is back and betting is back with DraftKings. It's time to celebrate, and DraftKings is the one-day fantasy football leader who has huge week one contests for you guys, so make sure you get in there now. The first one starts this Thursday night when Chicago and Green Bay kick off the season in the single-game showdown with 2.5 million total prizes up for grabs. Draft your single-game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just draft 6 players for the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, if you're a new user, when you sign up today on DraftKings, you can use the code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to receive a free shot at $1 million top prize. That's for free, guys. If you sign up today, you can get a shot at $1 million. Why not throw a dart with that kind of money on the line? So get in on the season opening action. Download the DraftKings app right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a limited time for both new and existing users. You can still get that bonus up to $500, and new users don't miss the extra special week one bonus. Enter promo code Locked On to get that free shot, guys, at $1 million with promo code Locked On, and you can only do it at DraftKings.com. All right, guys, time to get into the next segment, talking about some guys that were surprised made the team. So we're going to get into some surprise cuts later, but they really go hand in hand because we've been looking extremely hard at this roster and at these preseason games to find out who is going to make the team. And some of the names that made the team were a little surprising. So let's go ahead and get into it. The first one that jumped out to me as a guy that I was surprised made the team had to be Trevor Williams. Trevor Williams did not play in any preseason game this year, and I know what he's done in the past has kind of preceded what he's done lately, but I was a little surprised to see Trevor Williams make the team. But at the same time, there's no real cornerback that didn't make the team that I'm upset didn't make it. I get what they did there, but still a little surprising to see him and other guys that made the team that didn't really play well or didn't really play at all in the preseason. So, David, which guys that we thought might get cut are you surprised made the team?
Yeah, so for me, Daniel, the one guy that I thought after, you know, 3 years of being on this team showed absolutely no value as a defensive player. I'm talking about Nick DeZubner, a guy who's a special teams ace who the Chargers showed absolutely no faith in last year when they had no linebackers left on the depth chart. I'm just surprised that his value is so high on special teams that he garnered a spot on this team. I just don't get it, Daniel.
Yeah, Nick DeZubner, it has to be special teams. I mean, the Chargers kept 8 linebackers, which was a little surprising. I didn't think they would go with that many there. Nick DeZubner and also Jatavis Brown, I think, both found themselves as linebackers that we weren't sure were going to make the team. Anthony Lynn has praised the versatility of Jatavis Brown, but his play on the field has been subpar. And I think he's going to struggle to find snaps in this young linebacker room unless there's injuries, because there's a lot of guys ahead of him on the depth chart in my mind. I mean, if weak side linebacker, you have Thomas Davis and Kazir White. Both guys, I think, will start in front of Jatavis Brown. I think that Denzel Perryman and Drew Tranquil will both get time at Mike ahead of Jatavis Brown. And I don't think he's going to play a lot of strong side ahead of Uchenna and Wosu. So I think he's still pretty far down the depth chart. And with Nick DeZubner, we talked about it last week. I mean, you could even throw Jeremy Davis in there. How much do the Chargers actually appreciate the special teams values, and how many guys are going to make this team specifically because of what they can do on special teams? So we talked about before that certain guys would not be able to play as many snaps on special teams, and other guys like a Detrez Newsome, who got cut and is now on the practice squad. He was a big special teams player last year, and you're not going to get the same production out of Troymaine Pope, we don't think, at least not in the same areas of special team, maybe as a returner instead. But I think, John, the Chargers obviously kept Jeremy Davis and Nick DeZubner for special teams value, but at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me with all of the guys on the waiver wire if they were still to get cut at some point.
Well, I don't know if Jeremy Davis would get cut, because if he was going to get cut, they would have already done it for Artavis Scott. But with Nick DeZubner, I would definitely say if they want somebody from the waiver wire that's been cut off of any of the other teams, it would definitely be DeZubner, who is cut from this team. But could it also be Jatavis Brown, who maybe gets cut, because he's probably going to be playing limited snaps this year, and he could be a injury issue. Maybe they're looking for trade bait with him. Maybe in case Melvin Gordon gets traded, could he be trade bait as well?
He could be potentially. I mean, it's hard to really test the market value on a guy like him. But a couple other guys that were a little bit surprising made the team, especially over the players that they did, would be Damian Square and Cortez Broughton. I mean, Damian Square has been around a little while. Cortez Broughton was a 7th round pick, and neither one of them did very much in the preseason. But obviously, the Chargers have something invested in both of those players. So both of those guys make the team at defensive tackle. I'm not surprised they went with 5 defensive tackles, but at the same time, I'm surprised that they kept Square and Cortez Broughton instead of another guy we'll talk about next segment. I think, David, when you're talking about Damian Square and Cortez Broughton, the one guy on there that I still think has some upside and has time to develop will be Cortez Broughton, because he has the intangibles, and it reminds me a lot of a guy last year, Justin Jones. Justin Jones, I mean, John was his biggest hater, but look at what Justin Jones has been able to do over the last year. Look at how much he's been able to develop with the defensive line coach, Giff Smith. He's really just been a night and day different player so far. He still has to prove it on the field, but he got his body right. He just was a monster in the preseason. So, David, you have to think that with a guy like Cortez Broughton, maybe they weren't sure if he'd clear waivers, and he's a guy that they think they can actually make something out of because he's so raw.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers actually have a position coach that can develop some players, Daniel. It's crazy. I mean, you can see it with a former 7th-round pick from Notre Dame, Isaac Rochelle. I mean, he's made some tremendous strides with the Chargers, gotten much, much better, a lot more production out of a guy picked in the seventh round than you ever thought you were going to get. So the Chargers think that there's a lot of ability to develop the skills that Cortez Broughton has shown in college, you know, the quick first step, that explosion through the hole. I think they see some things that they can work with, and they feel comfortable that they can develop another Justin Jones to help on that defensive line.
Well, I think one of the only defensive linemen you could say really hasn't developed is a guy like Brandon Mebane, who was already the player he was going to be when he showed up. Damian Square, you didn't really expect much out of him right away. But then you look at another guy like Darius Filon, who came from pretty much nothing to be the Chargers' best interior defensive lineman that last year. So I think that's another good example of the Chargers developing someone they took later on and turning them into a guy who can actually contribute. So for now, Cortez Broughton stays on the roster. A couple other guys, Jalen Watkins got cut to leave Derwin James on the roster to be put on injured reserve, but then he came back on the roster after they did that with Derwin James. So that's a little surprising. He didn't do very much. He had the pick on a tipped ball that didn't really take much skill, and he had three tackles all in the same game. Besides that, he didn't really do anything. And then the other guy would be Chris Pease, who makes it over Anthony Lanier, who we may or may not talk about next segment. But I think there's a good reason why they kept Chris Pease. In my mind, he thought he was the better pass rusher. He did lead the Chargers in sacks during the preseason, and I think as a pure pass rusher, he was better than Lanier. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about the guys we're surprised got cut. There's some guys that put together some pretty productive preseasons that got cut from the team, so we'll go ahead and talk about that in the next segment. But first, I need to tell you guys about our friends over at BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And the best part about BlueChew, guys, is there's no awkwardness because all orders are prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package with no in-person doctor visits and also no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners, and we make BlueChew free for you guys when you visit BlueChew.com. Use our special promo code Locked On. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast this season. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the day, still talking rosters and talking about the guys we're surprised got cut from the team, because a lot of people's preseason favorite players were cut and some guys who had some really awesome production were cut. So let's go ahead and talk about the guys that were most surprised got cut from the team. So David, with all the guys we talked about before having some really impressive numbers in the preseason, which one of those guys were you most surprised didn't make the team?
I mean, it's got to be Artavis Scott. I was very impressed with his ability to get open, to get separation, to get yards after the catch. He got catches in every single game of the preseason, was productive all throughout. And I thought he did enough to make this roster. I thought he was the best wide receiver on the field pretty much every time he was there. So I just don't understand the cut. I mean, thankfully, they were able to stash him on the practice squad, Daniel. You know, some people in some scouting departments around the league get a hold of some tape on Artavis Scott. He's going to be a guy that gets signed off this practice squad.
Well, and the Chargers only kept five receivers, which was a little surprising in itself. And Andre Patton was another guy vying for that spot as the sixth receiver, we thought. But I guess now it's really the fifth receiver. And Jeremy Davis beat both of those guys who had much more productive preseasons than he did. But each one of them would have been the Chargers' fifth receiver and probably wouldn't have been in line for a lot of targets anyways. But still, you know, the guy who has 12 catches for 188 yards in the preseason doesn't get a spot. That still has to be surprising, especially because it's really two preseasons in a row where Artavis Scott has shown that he can make plays in this league, even if it is against preseason players. We don't have the chance to see him against the teams. But John, who's another guy that you were surprised got cut when the roster cuts came out on Saturday?
For me, it has to be T.Y. McGill. With the way he was playing, especially in the last game when he was just flying through the line and getting in the backfield, no problem. And the fact that this would have been his fifth year in the NFL, so there's experience there. I thought for sure he would have made this team, but the only thing I can think of is they were going to put either T.Y. McGill or Cortez Broughton on the cuts list. And since Cortez Broughton has a seventh round pick invested in him, and T.Y. McGill is just a guy who was signed off the streets, who was also an undrafted free agent when he first came to the league, they went with the seventh round pick because they feel like that's going to be their future. And T.Y. McGill is no longer needed. But I'm guessing if someone goes to get hurt, he'd be the first guy they'd call probably.
Yeah, and T.Y. McGill is a guy who didn't make the practice squad, and we'll talk about the practice squad players later. But just know that Artavis Scott and Andre Patton both made the practice squad. And the one thing I would say about that, John, is you have to think that his age had something to do with it. T.Y. McGill is a guy who has 5 years of service in the NFL, even though he hasn't done very much with it. I think they're definitely rolling the dice on a younger guy that they think can develop into something like we talked about before. So another guy, we talked about Chris Peace earlier, him going up against Anthony Lanier. And I know, John, that didn't really surprise you that they went with Chris Peace over Lanier. I thought Lanier had the better preseason, even though he didn't have the sack numbers. I thought he did a better job of getting in the backfield and being disruptive on more of a play-to-play basis, even though Chris Peace was the better pass rusher. But I know that you said that you were not surprised that they kept Chris Peace over Anthony Lanier.
I was honestly thinking Chris Peace and Lanier were both coin flips, basically. They were going to, if there was 55 guys on this roster and you needed to get rid of two, I felt Chris Peace and Lanier would probably be the two guys that you had to decide from. Right. And it's just because they were that good in preseason, but at the same time, it was preseason. So you have to really decide. Did you want a guy in Lanier who was just shooting up the field? Or did you want a guy in Chris Peace who actually showed a little bit more technique and willingness to actually get to the quarterback or to the ball carrier, whereas Lanier was just shooting up the field? It was which one do you want to go with? Lanier, you have to develop into a guy who gets more discipline, or Chris Peace, who is just going to get stronger and better with experience? I was honestly wouldn't have been surprised if they both got cut or if they both made it. They both had the ability to make it, but they also both had the ability to get cut for somebody else that we wanted. So it didn't surprise me either way. They were borderline making the roster.
They kind of seem like different players to me, though. I mean, Anthony Lanier is more of your, you know, set the edge, run stuffer type, and Chris Peace is more of the bend around the edge and get to the quarterback. So, I mean, it's kind of like, who did you value more? Did you want the pass rusher, or did you want the guy that's going to be a decent pass rusher and a pretty good run stuffer?
When you're already having questions about the Chargers' run defense there, when the pass rush isn't something that you necessarily need right now, but Chargers found out last season, if you're down a pass rusher, how much that can mean. Another guy that really had a great preseason, and I'm not super surprised he was cut, even though I had him making the team, would be Cardale Jones, who had the best preseason of any of the Chargers quarterbacks for the most part. You can make an argument for Tyrod Taylor, but overall, a 68.3 completion percentage. He gets a touchdown throwing it. He had a touchdown running it. He didn't have any interceptions, which was a huge step for him. But at the end of the day, Easton Stick had a fifth-round pick invested in him, and Cardale Jones did not. Cardale Jones is maybe playing the best football he has on the NFL level, but the Chargers don't need a guy who's figuring that out right now. If there's no way Cardale Jones is going to be able to put anything on the field for the Chargers this season or contribute in any way. So I think that's why you see Easton Stick, who they didn't think would make it through waivers, obviously, if they kept him on the team with the poor performances that he had, even though he was super electric at times. You definitely have to think that's why they went that way, because Easton Stick has time to develop and you're in no rush to have a guy ready right now. You can spend the time and have a player like Easton Stick, and you have to just hope that the Chargers at least put the trade out there to some teams and tried to gauge some interest with Cardale Jones. But at this time of the year, if you're calling other teams about trading a guy like Cardale Jones, that team's for the most part going to know, hey, you're doing this right now because if you don't get the trade, you're going to cut him. It's pretty hard to have leverage in that situation. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. On tomorrow's show, we'll be talking about the other big news of the weekend, finding out that Russell Okung is going to be out for the first 6 weeks of the season, which is huge news and a huge blow to the Chargers with him recovering from that pulmonary embolism. A special shout out to Mack Weldon for sponsoring the opening week of the NFL. Send a special shout out to everyone in the Locked On Chargers Fantasy Football League. thank you guys for doing that. That was fun. We had really good activity. We had a good chat room going on the side. Definitely thanks out to Val, who likes a lot of our stuff on Twitter and comments with us a lot on Twitter. Then you have Matt Ward, who is in Australia drafting. Then we also had Simon Perdue, who was actually drafting at 3:48 when we asked him what time it was because he lives in Ireland. We also had more people next to the Chargers stadium. So there was a lot of people that showed up and showed us some love, and I'm excited to see how that league goes. But until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from, guys, so you get a notice every time the show comes out and you get it before everyone else does on Google Podcasts, TuneIn, wherever you get it from, the Locked On Chargers is there. We also have a couple voicemails to do later on the week, so if you guys sent them in, just know they're going to get on the show. But if you want to get it on the show, make sure you call into 323-524-7924. Leave your voicemail and your voice will get on the show. So a lot more to talk about for the rest of the week, guys. It's game week, but we will be back with you tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.